The Lord be with you. A reading of the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of King Herod, behold, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star at its rising, and have we come to do him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was greatly disturbed, and with him all Jerusalem. Assembling all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judah. For thus it has been written by the prophets, 'And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, since from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod called the Magi secretly and ascertained from them the time of the star's appearance. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the child. When you have found him, bring me word, so I too may go and do him homage." After their audience with the king, they set out. And behold, the star they had seen at its rising preceded them, until it came and stopped over the place where the child was. They were overjoyed at seeing the star, and on entering the house, they saw the child with his mother. They prostrated themselves and did him homage, and they opened their treasures and offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed for their country by another way. The Gospel of the Lord. One of the memories I have as a kid growing up, and I don't know how old I was on Little Christmas, as we used to call it, January 6th, right before Mom took us to school. She gathered my brothers and I together in front of the little statuettes of the three kings that we put out every year. And we said a little prayer. It was kind of a confusing thing because my mom called it Little Christmas, so I started making these connections with Big Christmas, you know. Oh, there must be another gift under that tree, or we really don't have to go to school today. Well, that wasn't the case. But remembering the three kings was a memory that I had as a kid. And this day is an extremely important day for you and for me because we are the recipients of the promises and the prophecy that had extended long before the time of Jesus. And we heard that today from the book of Isaiah. We heard it through the words of Paul. We are the co-heirs with Christ to the glories of the kingdom. We have been invited into the salvation the Lord had promised centuries and centuries and generations ago. That you and I today are receiving the good news of the light for the nations. And I know that in this time, this year, hopefully is going to be a better year. That was all the wishes just a few days ago. We'll see what happens. On New Year's Day, I was at the 12 o'clock Mass, and at the very end of my homily, I said, you know, today's not going to be a perfect day, and this year will have its struggles. But we stand as people of faith, that the light of Christ will shine through us and through our actions, and so people will know that God is here. God is among us, which is the promise and the hope and the faith that we celebrate at Christmas. I find that in times of great joy, we also have times and moments of great difficulty. And it's true every time, every year, probably ever since we were born, we discovered that things aren't always perfect as we were growing up. Family squabbles, problems with the parents at work, perhaps there's a struggle there. We have our own struggles growing up as kids. We can count them off. Maybe, you know, going to school was kind of a traumatic experience because we found ourselves at the end of a bullying spectrum. You know, we were being bullied in some capacity, teased somehow, that made it just a little less enjoyable to be there, or even just made it almost impossible to be there. We know the effects of bullying can be pretty disastrous. Perhaps we weren't very good in school, and so there was an element of stress that we're here again, you know, and I haven't learned anything over Christmas, or all the things that I learned so far I forgot over these last 2 weeks. Or maybe it's growing up confused about the world or about ourselves. These things don't go away when the celebration comes. We have to merge the celebration with the event of life and make sense of it, and it's not easy to do. I think it's a challenge when we come to a feast day, it's Christmas, because the words of joy, happiness, and frivolity, which are all part of the season, always have to be interpreted in the reality of the gospel, which we heard today. We heard the first story about King Herod's anxiety when the three, or the wise men, showed. The question about where is the king overshadowed Herod completely. So he was disturbed, as the gospel tells us, but he was more than just disturbed, he was murderous in his intentions. The rest of the gospel, which we do not hear today, shows Herod going out with a plan to destroy this king, whoever it may be, by killing young boys 2 years and under in Bethlehem and its environs. It's a horrible massacre that we read in the gospel, and we wonder what depths do humans stoop to maintain their power, and what horrible tragedy they visit upon the people that they were supposed to protect and to nurture. That's the job of the king, to keep the tradition alive, to talk about the power and the promise of God in midst of all of us, and he never did that. He was not a religious figure in any way, and the people needed the guidance. Part of the context of the Christmas story, and I understand that, you know, I don't always want to visit that. I don't want that to overshadow the joy I feel at Christmas time. But there's a difference between joy and giddiness. There's a difference between joy and even happiness. That we can have joy in the midst of anxiety, question, and doubt, because the joy is a belief that God is here. And we are not alone. And while we suffer, and others suffer, we have the support of God's blessing and God's people. The last couple Sundays, you know, I've been focusing a great deal on what we've done this past year in the midst of the pandemic, and how we've helped people in very simple ways. In many ways, they're very simple, like the food drive that we had two of them last year. And the response, I was just overwhelmed at it. People would brought all kinds of food. I mean, if you went into CSS or hall, you can imagine all those tables were just filled with food. Even more money came in gift cards. It was just incredible. A couple $1,000s worth of gift cards for people. We're all suffering and we all have, you know, troubles with the finances, and that's understandable, but people would give even more. To me, that was a sign that something was happening here in this parish, that we were acting not out of a sense of just being good human beings, which is a good thing, but we were acting as men and women who believe that Christ is here and we are his disciples, and we're going to do something, we're going to do anything out of that reality that Christ has visited us and claimed us as his own. Christ has claimed us as his own so that we can make him known, as he was made known today, by the light of a star, by our light shining in us. So in a dark world, we shine a little differently and a little brighter, and people notice that. And we say we do it because we belong to Christ, which I believe prompts people to walk away and say, who is this Christ? What power does he have over people? I believe it leads them on a way of faith. Several people in the parish community experienced loss this past year. And I had a text message from Father Tony that a member of the 12 o'clock Latino community just lost not only his dad, but his mother in Mexico. They both died, I believe, from COVID. And the tragedy of not being able to be with your parent at that critical moment is a painful, painful reality for them. But I've also seen people in the community stand with someone who's experienced loss, praying with them. And I know we're not supposed to touch people, you know. This was at the very beginning of the pandemic. But I saw one woman come in and she said, can I pray? I said, absolutely. And I knew that her mother had just passed in Mexico. So she came and she prayed, and I sat here in the church. I think we were having confessions in the morning. And then, you know, she would sing, she'd cry, and other members of the community came and they sort of put their hands on her. And I thought, oh, no, you're not supposed to do that. But they were reaching out in the only way they knew how, to comfort her at a very difficult, sorrowful moment. If that doesn't bring tears to anyone's eyes about compassion and love celebrated in this faith community, then perhaps nothing can. But that compassion was so apparent. And I'm almost sorry that I witnessed it almost alone. Wouldn't that be a great thing for us to see on a Sunday morning? But we know we can do that, and we have done it, and we will continue to show that compassion and love to everyone, regardless of who they are or what they believe or what they do throughout their day. We don't judge. We simply respond in love. That is the light that Isaiah talks about, that shines upon you and me. And it comes out of us, out of our depth of our heart, because Christ first dwells in us. As I said, Christ has claimed you and me for himself to bring his light into this world. Our festival of Christmas is a mix of feelings and emotion. It always has been such, whether we realize it or not. Great joy and great tragedy side by side. And as we dwell more on the Christmas mystery, we realize, at least I realize, how much the incarnation of Christ really means today. That this God who loves us beyond comparison decides to become human to fully live this life that you and I struggle with every day. That compassion has to change you and me to see a God dwelling with us, in us, and through us. So imagine the joy of the Magi who come to discover this newborn king of the Jews. And what do they see in this small child in humble surroundings? Apparently something pretty great. The gifts are mysterious. It's the only reference to the number 3 in that gospel, if you think about it. We have 3 gifts, but we don't know how many Magi made that trip. And the gifts, are they significant besides being extremely precious? Do they have some sort of symbolic meaning beyond its face value? Does gold stand for the true God and the worship due him alone? Does the incense remind us of the prayers that we offer to that God who lives? And is that myrrh a sign of things to come, not only in its precious ointment, but its space in preparing one's body for burial? Give rise to the idea that the kings understood the purpose of this child, Jesus, as king, as God and as suffering Messiah. So today, as we celebrate this feast day of Epiphany, we remember that you and I are witnesses of the light of Christ. We've seen it, and we act in it. And we are the light of Christ. As Christ lives within us, we share that light with our brothers and sisters. So in this season of Christmas, we have recalled shepherds talking about a vision, kings arriving to see the King, a miraculous birth, a baptism in the Jordan, a revelation that this is the Lamb of God, a wedding at Cana, where the giver of life changes water into wine, a voice from the cross, a visit from the resurrected one, are ways that Christ, in this season, are revealed to us. Who is this Jesus that you and I are shaped after and resemble? Going forward, how will we show the face of Christ to a hungry, waiting world? You and I are signs of hope for this community, for one another, and for those who will call St. Alphonsus home as a parish where they can come and hear the gospel, be challenged to see Christ in one another, and be led to do good things because Christ has claimed us.